We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
I want to take us straight to the Word. We've got a few things we need to walk through. Just want to welcome you to the house of God, and especially if you're here for the first time, you're very much welcome. We thank you for choosing to worship with us. If you've got children, please feel free to release them for their church. If they're having a moment, I think there's a feed in the Jubilee room. Media team, confirm it's working. The feed in the other room is working. Confirm. Okay. I want to take us to the Sermon on the Mount, which we started looking at last week. And I'd like us to look at it again this Sunday. But we'll go to chapter 6. We were looking at chapter 5 last week, where we were looking at the core of Christianity, which is the religion. I mean, which is the heart. The core of Christianity is the heart. And Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, he's describing the essential elements of being a Christian, the essential elements, and he's distinguishing what it is to be in the kingdom of God and what it is to be religious and probably not even know God. And so today we want to look at chapter 6, parts of chapter 6, still exploring the issue of what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? What does it mean to be part of the kingdom of God? What exactly is it about? So chapter 6, I'm reading from verse 5. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5, and the Bible reads, "And when you pray," are you there? Lift your hand if you are there. It might not come on the screen, so you need your Bible somewhere. It might not come on the screen. Bless our media team. So today they're just teaching us to find it on our own from our Bibles or your phones, whatever you're reading it from. Are we there? I'm going to wait for you. Are you there? Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I shall read. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Can you join me? "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we also forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Verse 14 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. So in Matthew 5, Jesus takes us through the journey of biblical truths, biblical laws, and how each one of them is aimed at the hearts and not just the externals. And obviously, the biggest problem we face as mankind is sin. We face sin. In chapter 6, so Jesus moves a bit further in chapter 6, where he's talking about true religious practices. True religious practices. Where does it begin? Does it begin with being dressed like you believe in Jesus Christ? Does it believe in how you look? Does it start with how you look? No, Jesus actually takes us to where religion starts from. It starts from the heart. It starts from the heart. So chapter 6 is about practice and relationship. It's about practice and relationship. Our biggest problem with prayer, I'm talking about prayer today, discovering the heart of prayer. Discovering the heart of prayer. The problem with prayer is a spiritual problem. Is that true? The issue with prayer is that it's a spiritual problem. Maybe you've prayed for something from God, but it never happened. And you are wondering, does God hear my prayers? Or maybe you've tried to pray many times, but you're always distracted. There are too many things happening around you. And therefore, you feel guilty that you have not been able to stay focused in your prayer life. Or could it be that maybe you're so busy doing things that you never get around to the time of praying? Am I talking to myself here? I won't say what you're busy doing. Is that fair? For now? My church is quiet today. At the end of the day, we feel frustrated. We feel guilty. Sometimes we even feel angry that my prayer life is not taking off. How many seminars have we attended about prayer? How many prayer meetings have we attended? And how is it that prayer is still a challenge today? Because prayer is really the issue, is that it's a spiritual problem. Now, can you identify with this? Is this true? That prayer can be a drug. Now, I will hint you something of why prayer is such a spiritual problem. One of the reasons prayer is a spiritual problem is because of this thing called your relationship with your Heavenly Father. It's theoretically, it's okay, but it's dysfunctional for most of us. That relationship with the Father is in comatose. Theoretically, it's okay, but it's distant. Have you heard the expression, I talk to my dad, but not really? I don't know about you, but I need help in prayer. I need help. So we're going to look at prayer very closely today. We're going to open the hood and try to look what exactly are the issues involved in helping us to pray, helping us to have a better prayer life. Is anybody who needs that here? A better prayer life. I'm just going to be very simple this morning. It struck me that we talk about prayer, but it's a challenge. Here is the first thing I want to say about prayer. Prayer is a heart issue, not an audition. Let me read. We are on the next slide, my dear friend in the media team. Matthew 6, verse 5. Are you there? I want you to read this with me, if you don't mind. Chapter 6, verse 5. Let's read it together because I want to communicate something here. What does it say? And? Yes. What do the hypocrites do? Let's keep going. Verse 6. Okay, let's leave verse 6 for now. Now, here is Jesus Christ teaching about prayer. In fact, that chapter opens about him talking about righteousness, you know, how we ought to give to the needy. But as we give to the needy, make sure that nobody is aware that you're doing this. Okay? And then he shifts gear to prayer. In fact, a lot of the Sermon on the Mount is about prayer. That's why I'm talking about prayer. And the way he teaches about prayer, I've not seen it in this slide before. Because he takes prayer and he says, listen, there is this type of person I want to describe for you. And this type of person is called a hypocrite. There is no one who speaks more about hypocrite than Jesus Christ. I was amazed. I then flipped over the years and trying to find out, what is a hypocrite? Well, over years, this term has had many meanings. Sometimes it simply means failure to live up to cultural standards, and then they call you a hypocrite. Sometimes a hypocrite, it actually means, usually if it's applied to a Christian, it means a leader in particular. It means a person who's living a double life. In other words, he's a person who says something from the pulpit, but he lives differently in terms of practice. Then they call that person, usually it's the non-Christian that say he or she is a hypocrite because he does not walk his talk or talk his walk. But then there's also another meaning. Hollywood has a meaning of a hypocrite. So in Hollywood, it's a good thing to be a hypocrite because in Hollywood, it simply means someone who's given a part to play in a script, and then he takes that part. It's not him, but he takes the part or the character of the script and behaves like that person on the script, but in real life, he's not that person. So they call that person a hypocrite, and they pay him lots of money for being a hypocrite. Someone say, yeah, man. Are you with me so far? And then Jesus comes in and says, do not be like the hypocrite. He's not talking about Hollywood. He's talking about church. So what does Jesus mean when he uses the term hypocrite? Would you like to know? When Jesus uses the term hypocrite, more than any other person, he's actually talking about a certain kind of people. These are people that have an empty religion. They are religious, but it's empty. He gives to help us understand, he gives us a picture of two men or two people. On one side, he's talking about prayer. He says, to teach about prayer, I'll give you a picture of two men. One is a hypocrite, the other one is not a hypocrite. But if he's a hypocrite, these are the characteristics of a hypocrite. This is what Jesus calls a hypocrite. They love to stand and pray. Now, don't get me wrong. Hypocrites love prayer. I will explain. If there's any day to misquote me, it's today. You will misquote me. They love prayer, but not for the right reasons. You with me? It says in a synagogue, standing for a religious place. Okay, so they will love prayer, but they also love prayer not only in church but on street corners. Street corners is talking about public. They hypocrites want to be seen in public praying or doing something religious. But one thing they love the most is not communion with God. So they love prayer, but they don't love communion with God. That's why it's religious. Why do they love prayer? They love prayer because for them, it's about recognition. It's recognition. They get recognition from praying or being recognized as men and women of prayer, except that this kind of praying has nothing to do with God. So, for example, they can come up with the religious rules of saying, I'm going to pray five times a day. And I'm so committed to it. But I'm not praying by way of communion with God. I'm just doing it because religion is good. It gives me a good picture. So, and then Jesus says, these kind of prayers are a failure. Why? Because they are not rewarded in heaven. Scripture says it. So you can do all you like, but the thing is, God does not reward these kind of prayers. These prayers are nothing more than pride. They are aimed at impressing the people who are present while we are doing our stuff, which is praying. We call it praying, but you can find some other titles for it. So they love the fact that they may appear super godly. They love the posture. They love the respect from being heard praying eloquent prayers. They love when people say amen or whatever they say. They love all that. But the only problem is that it's not prayer to God. This is Jesus teaching on prayer. He says, what does he say? He says, don't be like them. Who? The hypocrites. Don't imitate. Don't be like them. He's very strong when he teaches this. He's very strong. He says, he warns us to not approach prayer that way. According to Jesus, says, don't approach prayer like you are an actor on a stage. You see where the world, see why the kingdom of God is different from the world. The world pays you a fortune to be a hypocrite on stage. When you come to Jesus, when you come to God the Father, he says, throw away your mask because I want to see your heart. It's not an audition. It's not an audition. So prayer is not an audition. The second picture is on the other side. It's of a man who, when he prays, put verse 6 on the screen, please. When he prays, the Bible says he gets into a secret room. And then when he's in there, what does he do? He shuts the door. And when he has shut the door, what does he do? He starts talking to your father. His father. He's speaking to, keep it there. He's speaking to his father who sees in secret. Not in public. In secret. It doesn't mean that he doesn't see in the public. He does. But he starts in secret. And then he moves into the public. That's the contrast to the hypocrite who wants to be seen. But the only issue, like I said, a hypocrite loves prayer, but the only problem is that it's not the kind of prayer that is heard in heaven. So this man understands that prayer is not an audition. Hollywood does not come to recruit. So he knows that Jesus is not looking for actors. Jesus is looking for men of prayer, women of prayer, given to prayer, linked to prayer, aligned to prayer, live by prayer. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for part-time prayers. Full-time. You got to be full-time. So, he finds a private place. Why? Because God's focus is on the private place, and the private place is your heart. The room he's talking about is a hidden place where there's no distraction. It can be even here, but you have a way of shutting off distractions. You with me? So you stop looking around trying to get attention from anybody or trying to listen to what someone is praying. You now focus you and God. It's a realm, you see. It's a realm that you enter. The Father comes into that realm. You can be in public, right in the middle of the streets with many people on Oxford Street in London. You can be right in there, but you are locked up in a room with the Father. Amen. Now, the Bible says, your Father. This was Jesus speaking. The title for Father is Abba. We're going to come to that. Your single focus is on the Father. This is the point Jesus is making. So, now this may be a big problem to us. This may be a big problem to us because there's a big difference between a hypocrite and a woman who wants to pray. The hypocrite loves prayer because they get spiritual respect for it. But a man or woman of prayer, usually we struggle with prayer. Is that true? We struggle with prayer. It's true. Because you see, it's not just praying. It's the wrong way of praying. The approach. What does James say? You do not receive because you do not ask. But even if you ask with what? The wrong motives. That's James. He was talking to Christians. See, there are two types of Christians. There are Christians that ask God, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. Non-stop, anything, any, Lord, I need it. I need this. I want this. It's a shopping list. Our prayer meeting is a shopping list. There's that type of a Christian. I think there's something good about that, in a way, because you are not afraid to ask God. And then there's the other part on the other side that doesn't even ask, that feels sorry for God. And so they don't even pray. I say, I'll sort it out myself. Can I ask God to find my lost coin? It's too minor to ask God. Can I ask God for a bus to come early so that I may work early on time? No, that's dependent on the first bus management. God does not do such. You could be like that. But you see, that's a wrong way of approaching prayer. Let me move to the second point because we don't have much time. But do you see the issue here? It is Jesus who compares a hypocrite to someone who's praying. A hypocrite loves prayer, but the problem with the hypocrite is they're actually not praying to God. They are praying to the people they're talking to. Okay, number two, prayer, at the heart of prayer, it's a faith issue. It's not a formula. Prayer is not a formula. Can I say that again? Prayer is not a formula. When we're doing the Lord's Prayer, we are not doing a formula. We are following a model. A model is not a formula. If you are one of those science guys, you've got to follow a formula to pass. If A plus X is equal to Y, that's a formula. You apply it. If you don't apply it, you will get different results. It's a formula. It's a way of thinking. It must always be followed, or else experiment doesn't work. Now, when it comes to prayer, that does not work. Prayer is not a formula. Just because my pastor prays this way, and then you take it to your house and say, in the name of so and so, or the name, listen, it's not a formula. Verse 7. What does verse 7 say? Matthew 6, verse 7. It says, I like the expression how Jesus says it. He says, when you pray. He's talking to believers. Can I say this? Prayer is not an option if you have received Jesus Christ into your life. Prayer is not an option. I hope you're aware of that. Prayer is not an option. Men ought always to pray. We have no other way of communing with God other than praying. So when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. So first contrast is a hypocrite and a man or woman of prayer. The next contrast is a Gentile and a man or woman of prayer. Said, do not be like them. Who? The Gentiles. He's talking about prayer. How do the Gentiles come in here? That's where the issue of faith comes in. So for the hypocrites, their hearts are not fixed on God. Right? For the Gentiles, their whole perspective about life is not fixed on God. So a Gentile, when I talk about Gentiles, these were non-Jews. When the Bible talks about Gentiles, Gentiles were idol worshippers. Their concept of life was wired up in the gods that they worshipped. For example, the people that worshipped Baal, if you remember in 1 Kings, when Elijah was calling fire from heaven, he gave them an opportunity to call on their god, their Baal god. And they were dancing around, cutting themselves, repeating a formula, calling their god with a formula, until Elijah said, maybe your god is in the toilet. Maybe your god is asleep. Where is your god? Your formula, the formula was not working. So they were given a formula to conjure up their gods and their demons to come up. And these demons, that day they went off duty. Because see, formulas are, so Jesus says, don't be like them. There are some cults where you are given some beads when you join, and then whenever you pray, you're counting them, like, and then I think when you get to 39, apparently you get an answer around there. I don't know, but there's a formula for playing around with them, which apparently should produce an answer. So Jesus says, don't be in that category. Don't be. You can't. Or if you spin a wheel, you know, there are prayer wheels that you spin, and then at a certain point, each turn of the wheel sends that prayer to a god. Jesus says, don't be in that category. There are some gods that only answer at 12 midnight. At 12 midnight, they come out. So you dance and dance around in the dark until 12 midnight. And then those gods answer you. And Jesus says, don't be like them. So prayer is not a formula. Jesus forbids us to make such prayers. He wants us to pray with faith. Our Father already knows what we need, but he wants us to pray guided by the knowledge that he actually cares who we are. He cares for us and that we know who he is. Now, as a father, I'm nowhere close to omniscient, but I have a pretty good idea of what my children need. They might not ask, but I have an idea what they need. And so I have to prepare for an answer that I give them. Sometimes it's a no, sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a maybe, sometimes it's don't even ask. Okay? Don't even ask. And there are facial expressions that go with it. Now, in my fallen state as a father, somehow I know when to say yes. I would like to have, I would like to have them to have a good life. True. But there are things they cannot have. Right? Now, imagine with God how generous he is, our Father. How we approach that God is so important, because God is the creator of the universe. He's the sustainer. He's a covenant maker. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. God is our, of all the terms that we know God for, Jesus pulls one and he says, your Father, our Father. He pulls that one. For most of us, it's a problem. The problem is that we really don't trust who God says he is. That's why it's a faith issue. Hebrews 11 verse 6. Can you put it in Hebrews 11 verse 6? I'll take you to Hebrews 11 verse 6 and show you something. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you read that, it's a hard text. It says, without faith, it's impossible. Not it's unlikely. It's impossible to get access to God. Now, if we try to pray without faith, it's a waste of time. Is that true? You with me so far? So that's why it says, your Father in heaven even knows what you want to ask before you open your mouth. But the problem is that you have no faith in who he is. Therefore, there is no access. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For whoever will draw near to God, that's the language of prayer, whoever will draw near to God must believe. Must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Same word that Jesus used, he will reward you. What am I saying? We must believe that God is there. A believer must believe that God is there. Unlike Gentiles, Gentiles don't believe that God is there. They believe in gods, not that God is there. We believe that God is there. And by there, I mean he's a spirit being. He's a spirit being. We are physical, we are praying. He's there, but he's a spirit being. We're not just talking to ourselves when we gather to pray or when we're in a room praying. We are talking to God. We're not talking to ourselves. Our God has not gone to sleep. The Bible says he does not sleep nor slumber. He is there. You must believe that he's God. But not only believe that God exists, but believe that he is personal. Believe that God is personal. What do I mean? God is someone, is not something. The New Age language now is, they talk about a new force. There's energy. By the way, that's all New Age language. You can't get personal with a force. Our God is three persons in one. In essence, he's one. But there are three persons that have different roles for you to live the life you live in Christ. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray to the Father, we do it through Jesus Christ in the Spirit. We pray to our Father through Jesus Christ. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus in the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit who helps us to pray. So you don't get into God's presence without understanding that we are dealing with someone who's a person, the Trinity. He's much, much more than the Trinity. See, he's much, much more than a personal. I said Trinity. He is the Trinity. He's much, much more than personal because how do I know? I'm talking to a person. He's a spirit being. How do I know? Because I know he hears when I pray. He hears when I pray. He not only hears. If he hears, it means that I can make my request known to them and he will respond. God answers prayer. I'm telling you, you heard the testimonies here. God answers prayer. A few months ago, I lost my spectacles. The good news is I know where they got lost. The bad news is the company that got the spectacle will not admit that they have them. You with me? I knew exactly where I lost them, and I tried to chase them. Guys, I left my spectacles in your car. I need them. They said, we don't have them. I text, I emailed, I did all I could. I would not even entertain the idea of getting new ones. I didn't want to get new ones. So I forgot about it. I said, okay. And then I prayed. A very simple prayer to God. Even in the car, driving. I said, Lord, I really need these spectacles. I need them. You know how much I need them. But they're telling me stories. So I'm saved, so I can't go. You know what I mean. Okay. There's something called self-control. So anyway, so I forgot about it. But recently I was, after a school run, I felt a deep prompting in my spirit to go and see them in person. So I drove over there in person. I was convinced it's God because I wouldn't have gone there. So I got there. I tell you, it took me less than 3 minutes to get my classes back. Less than 3 minutes. I walked in, told them why I was there. A guy stands up, goes to a drawer, pulls it open, goes through classes, picks mine, puts it back. It was at the moment I was looking at him, what he's doing. And I said, the ones you just put back are mine. Bring them out. He says, what? They are mine. Bring them out. He brought them to me. He says, I didn't even know they were glasses. I said, thank you very much. You've made my day. And I walked out. I said, thank you, Lord. Now, that's a very simple prayer. I'm just giving an example how God hears prayer. I know I got them because there was a prompting in my spirit. I know that. God answers prayer. In the same way that you raise a dead person, God answers prayer. I don't know what your prayer is, but God hears even the whisper from our lips. He hears that. That's what Scripture says. It says He knows what we want to ask for even before we say it to Him. He knows that. Now, here is the problem. The problem is we want to take matters into our hands. I will show them today. You did what? I know. I left them here. And then we do all sorts of things that cannot be said from here. Do you know what we've done? We've got our reward. When God is involved, there is a learning to it. And He speaks. God speaks. You know, His reply, He speaks in many ways. Sometimes it's through the Bible. Sometimes He can use someone to speak into your life. Sometimes it's a prompting in your heart. Sometimes you almost hear Him speaking in your ears. You almost hear Him speaking, directing you. Sometimes it's a dream. He gives you a dream. Maybe you've been fussing about something. Should I take this job or not? And boom, comes a dream. And then God is answering you, saying, that is it. You will know. So God answers in many ways. Sometimes it's good to check, okay? Especially when you get into the area of dreams, you know, the area of promptings. Just check with someone. Just check. I sense this. What do you think? Okay? Check with a trusted believer. It's important. Sometimes we get it wrong. We are humans, okay? We get these things wrong. It's possible. Okay? You can't wake up in the morning and say, oh, God spoke to me to divorce today. Where did you read that? Check first before you do some funny things. Okay? Check. Okay. So, God hears our prayers because of Jesus. That's why we pray to God in His name. Okay? So, saying in Jesus' name is not a formula for concluding a prayer. It's an instruction we're given to say, pray in His name because it is in His righteousness that we can approach the throne of grace. We need to approach the throne of grace with Jesus Christ's righteousness. Because our righteousness is like filthy rags to Him. So we need Him. We go in His name by faith. By faith. Not like the Gentiles who use formulas to say that that's how we used to do it. We follow faith. And sometimes faith leads you to start praying when you don't think it's convenient to pray. I was praying in the car. It was not a convenient time to pray about a small thing like spectacles. But that's what I sense God was leading me to pray for. Sometimes you might be cooking, ladies. Cooking, or men for that matter. Cooking. And God drops a name in your heart. And you're like, why am I thinking about so and so? That could be God wanting you to pray for that person. That's what we mean by praying by faith, praying in the Spirit. We are led by the Spirit to pray. There are promptings that the Spirit of God drops in people's hearts. There are burdens that God drops in people's hearts. There are requests that God drops in people's hearts. Like a family, in a church family like this, you can wake up at 1 a.m. and you wake up with a name in your head, and then you're seeing an accident in your vision. And when you begin to pray, you are reversing something that the enemy is meaning for evil, but God is turning it around for good. But it's because a believer who lives by faith has taken up their place in the gap. That's why you can't be a part-time prayer. We will hear things in heaven. Trust me, we will hear things in heaven. The last one is this is where I've been. This is what I've been trying to say. The third one. All I've been saying was trying to get us to this one. Prayer is like, in fact, it is not like. It's a father-child relationship, not a religious matter. That's why you don't need a degree in praying to pray. Children are amazing. Verse 8 and 9 says, do not be like them, Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 and 9. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. And then he starts by saying, our Father in heaven. This we've never seen before. Jesus is introducing prayer because the disciples had seen him pray and say, so show us how to pray. And then he says, our daddy in heaven. Oh my, a Jew never says that. It's like you can't mention that name. You can't say daddy to him. You can't. In fact, for a Jew, they don't even spell his name, let alone pronounce his name. They can't. So in the Old Testament, for example, you will notice, if you check your Bible, you're gonna check this, you will notice that when they're talking about Lord, it's capital L-O-R-D. Always capital. L, they didn't want to spell his name. Even the ones that were writing, they could not write his name. So when they use Yahweh, they just use vowels. They just use vowels. They don't write the full name. You can't be a Jew and write his full name. You can't, let alone call him daddy. Jesus shows up and says, our Father, my daddy in heaven. Why? Fatherhood is the foundation doctrine of our Christian faith. Amen. Any religion that undermines fatherhood, be careful. God has chosen to reveal himself as a father. He's not a goddess. He's not a princess. He's not a queen. He's a king. Amen. That's how he has chosen to reveal himself. Careful about what we are reading about these days. God is not Mother Nature. He's Father God. He has revealed himself as a... Have you ever wondered why the devil attacks fatherhood? It's more than... See, one of the things that you need to realize is that when the institution of fatherhood is being attacked, it's affecting your prayer life, in case you didn't know. I'll show you. You know, Jesus wants us to approach God like a child approaches his or her dad. That's why he says, our Father in heaven. The posture there is of a child approaching his dad or her dad. When Jesus came, if you want to see this, I mean, it's fully blown in John, the Gospel of John. What does Jesus say? My Father sent me. That which my Father does, I do. I say what my Father says. My Father said this. My Father wants me to do this. I do the will of who? My Father. So Jesus, what is it that you do on your own? I don't. I'm dependent on the Father. And yet I'm the Son of God. He reveals himself as the Son of God, but he's fully dependent. He does not think on his own. He says, that which my Father wills, I will do. Not my will, but your will be done. Who? My Father in heaven. Do you see the concept here? He came to model for us that when you approach God, approach him as a child going to his Father. So when fatherhood is attacked, can you imagine? Here is the thing. Most of us have trouble addressing God as Father, maybe because of our backgrounds. Maybe we had an abusive father when we were growing up. We had a distant father when we were growing up. We had a disengaged father when we were growing up. So therefore, when we say our father, it runs some threads in our spirit, and we think like, no, 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 that's not the picture of a father. But you see, he's our father. His location is told in heaven. Not here. Yes, we have wrong models of fatherhood. Yes, we are angry probably with an abusive father. It's true. It's true. We don't deny that. Some of us maybe are blessed with wonderful fathers, strong and safe, with big hearts and firm hands. And thank God for that. We thank God for that. But we may struggle with fatherhood as a generation because of some sexist philosophies coming through that prefer to worship goddesses. In fact, some churches have even gone ahead and started reordering and rewriting their liturgy to address God the Father as God who's genderless, or God who's just Father God and Mother God. There are churches that are changing now the liturgy. Run away. This is foundational to us Christians. The whole goal of Christian mission is to reunite us with our Heavenly Father. What does John 14:6 say? John 14:6 says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And then he says, no one comes to who? To the Father except through who? Through me. Romans 8:15, the language gets deeper. Listen to Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15 says, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. Okay, your version reads differently. Is that what I'm looking for? Okay. ESV, that's fine. For you... Change to New King James or NIV, because I'm reading a different court here. You have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. By whom we cry, Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're who? That we're apostles? That we are prophets? No. We're children of God. Children of God. And if children, then heirs, co-heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. You see, you don't have an heir if you don't have sonship. Can I say that again? You can't be part of the kingdom of God if you have not been born of the Spirit. And the Spirit gives birth to adopted sons and daughters. So in this faith we are in, we are adopted into it. That's what the Spirit of God does. There's an adoption process comes. So in the adoption process, let's say if we adopt a child, that child is now called by my surname. And that child inherits whatever every other child inherits from even my biological line. So that child is not my stepson. I'm confusing you now. According to Scripture, Scripture does not have step this, step that, step out, step in. It does not have that. It's a language from psychology. According to Scripture, we are not step this of God. We are sons of God. Amen. 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 So just in chapter 6, more than 10 times, Jesus uses the term Father. Just chapter 6. Father. Your Father in heaven. Your Father in this. Your Father. So when we approach God, this is the secret to prayer. When you're approaching God, approach God as a child, not a super apostle or a mighty prophetess. When it comes to prayer, my friends, You are a child. Let me help us. I'm trying to paint a picture. Let me help us. Is someone listening here?
Amen.
How does a child talk with their father? I'm a father, I can tell you. Or perhaps you should ask, what is a little child like? Someone said this, a guy called Paul Miller. Put it on the screen. Let's start with this. A guy called Paul Miller, he's an author. I like what he wrote. He wrote this. He says, being a child in prayer means to just come. Just come. Just as you are. Because a child is not tied up in all the details when they come to their parents. They just come. They never get tired with pretense when they come to you. Children don't pretend. They come yawning, chewing funny, walking funny. They just come. Half-dressed, they just come. They just come. Mommy, daddy, I want cereal now. Is this familiar? Maybe it's in my house. You see, children just say what is in their mind. That's all. It doesn't make it right, but they say it. Oh, man, if you've got guests, oh, my goodness. Parents, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. They are loud, they are bold, and they are not ashamed. That's kids. They just come. They just say it as it is. See, kids have no regard for decorum or diplomacy. Oh, you know, dad, you know. No, they don't do that. Daddy, I want cereal now. But we have no milk. Daddy, I want cereal now. You know, they'll repeat it until milk shows up. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture, when Jesus is talking about prayer, let me help you. So another day, but I'm giving you a hint. He uses examples of adults who are supposed to be childlike in behavior. So there's a persistent widow. She goes to the judge nonstop, says, give me justice. And the judge says, go away, give me justice. Next day she's there, give me justice. It's a child. I want cereal now. There's no milk. I want cereal now. It will be repeated until you find milk. You with me so far? Do you get the idea? How about the guy who knocks at midnight? How many times did he knock? He knocked until the guy who was asleep had to wake up and give him not only 3 loaves, but all the bread he had in the house to give him to go. Children behave like that. They won't stop. Someone introduced me. Someone, you know, when I was a son, I won't tell you which one. When I was younger, life was simple. Birthday present was very simple. I went to look for unbranded gifts. You with me? If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. So I walk into a shop. I wasn't looking for a brand. Just pull out some trainers. At around 8, 9 years old, I started saying, oh, now, you know, for my birthday, mommy and daddy, for my birthday, I will send you what I want. I then realized there's something wrong here. And for sure, something came. This time it was a brand. So I said, so how did you know about this brand? Oh, no, someone from church told me that boys of my age, this is what they wear. They even showed him how to walk while putting them on. So this is how you walk when you put this one on. This brand, that's how you walk. And I told him, get this color. And so we tried to say, so try Mackenzie. Try this one. Try that. No. This one is what I want. He's a child. The child does not care how much you have in your bank balance. He doesn't care how far you have to fetch it from. But on my birthday, I want to see it there. That's a child. Now, when we approach God, We approach him in the same way. Mothers might not like this, but all my three children, the first words they said is Dada, meaning daddy. I'm not claiming anything here, but you know. Just say. Because the moms claim they're close to them, but you know, when they start speaking, Dada. Not one, not two, how many? Three! And I was not part of it. But you know, what's exciting about kids is that they are learning to communicate. You begin to realize that that's when you want to be there with them, because you want to be there when they say those first words, when they start walking, when they start doing all sorts of things. They are lovely. You see, I'm trying to get somewhere with this child thing. So, imagine when you got saved, how lovely it was. And in those days, any prayer you make, God answers it. Did you notice? Just answers it. Lord, I want this. Have it. Have it. And you're not diplomatic in those days. You just prayed. Any day in the bathroom, you're praying. Before you sleep, you're praying. And then, if you're a parent, you know that there comes a time when you can't stop them from talking. Non-stop talking. And then they come to a stage around teenage years. They are talking, but they're not talking to you. They are listening, but they're no longer listening to you. They're listening to peers. Mom and dad's communication is now less and less, especially if it's the kind that tries to bring them an alignment with the family values. Mm-mm. It's no longer as popular as before. And then comes the critical stage. That critical stage is where you've got to watch carefully if you've got children. The critical stage is where even communication itself is now a challenge. Where they go upstairs, close their room. When they come downstairs, is to eat, but not with you. Where you're no longer allowed to touch their phone. There comes a moment when the phone rings, they jump. You wonder, what has just happened? Hello, am I speaking to the right people here? Yes. I've raised teenagers, so I've got a bit of a... some wisdom from somewhere. And then, you see, do you know they start being sophisticated now? When they want to go out, you won't understand clearly what's going on, but there's a way of presenting it. To make it sound to you that it's an innocent party I'm going to. Just friends. You hear that term? When you press for details, you are actually making it worse because you get even less detail. You know, we approach God like that. Those days when we're innocent, you've just been healed, you're shouting, Lord heals, God heals, my friends, God can heal you. Hey, God can heal you. Look at me. There comes a time when life becomes a little bit complicated now. Our prayers are very complicated now. It's a car I want, but I'm saying, Lord, you know, I need an automobile. I need to preach. I need this and that. But I have many reasons for wanting that car. Because, see, my friend just bought a better car than mine. So now I give reasons why I need a new car, Lord. Give me a new one. Look at this one. It doesn't even start in the morning. Lord, please. If you don't give me. You know those prayers? If this doesn't happen, I'm leaving church, Lord. We threaten God. We don't swear. But, you know, the language is that one of a person who's like, Lord, we're now adolescents in prayer. Like those teenagers we're raising now. We've got places we want to go to that God should not know. So prayer becomes very complicated. That's why having a prayer meeting on its own, we don't like it. Because prayer, real prayer, exposes what's in my heart. And because I'm trying to give God something, the hypocrisy comes now. Because I'm trying to say something that's not in my heart. And prayer becomes a problem. So what do? I don't go for prayer. If I do, I'm doing it for the public to hear. But deep down in my heart, I'm somewhere else. I'm living a double life. I love you, Jesus. We sing hallelujah. But in my heart, I'm like, Lord, don't interfere with my lifestyle. You are my father, but I have uncles that provide what you're trying to provide me. How do you think that makes God feel? So Jesus comes out clear and says, don't be like them. Don't be like them. Learn from this. Don't be like them. So he brings us back to line and says, listen, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, we need to come to a place where we honor God for who he is. Honor him. Bring back honor to the house of God. It's an invitation. What Jesus is doing says, I'm inviting you to come as you are. Don't cover up. Come as you are. I will cleanse you. All who are heavy laden, all those that are carrying things, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come to me. It's an invitation to learn how to pray. I don't know where you are in your prayer life. But maybe you're wondering, why is God not answering my prayers? Maybe you've taken a formula and you want to apply it to pray. It won't work. It won't work. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. You see, my children come. Sometimes I wonder, do they know what they're asking for? But they don't care. They just, daddy, that's all I want. Because of the relationship. And because of the relationship, they are not ashamed to ask for crazy things. You know what? That's how we should approach God. Approach God like a child. And God answers prayer when we are helpless and desperate and we have no plan B. When we approach God from that angle, things change. Things change. Because when we're helpless, heaven shows up. God cannot help a person who's got many ideas. He can't. And then verse 14, I'm closing with this as we have Holy Communion. Verse 14 is the base of everything I've said today. It says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Keep going. Next verse. Okay, the word hypocrite is still there. Do you notice that? For God's power to flow, for fatherhood to be real, there must be forgiveness. But when we grow older and you have a tiff with a child, you can go for a week without speaking, but not with a two-year-old. A two-year-old, you can discipline them. 5 minutes later, they're begging, daddy, carry me. 2 minutes. You know what was the problem with the Pharisees? He told them off and they kept it, they kept the grudge. And so when he's talking about hypocrisy, are you talking about us? They're not like children. I'm reminded of the story when Jesus cleansed the temple. The Pharisees were so angry with him. So can you imagine after that massive move of God where Jesus was cleansing the temple, the children jump in, and what do? They start praising God as though nothing happened in that temple. The Pharisees were angry that, why are these children not behaving like us? We are still angry with him for what he did here. So shut those children up, Lord Jesus. He just said, what? What did you just say? I'm not going to do that. For praise has been ordained on these lips. I'm asking that, can we come like children to God?
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.